Wednesday night, Chaibus Arba.
Chaibus Arba, Shar B'Tochen, Perek Revi. Page Kuf Mem Ches, talking about relationships and how Baal B'Tochen deals with different relationships and different situations he finds himself in. And the aspect of B'Tochen that he stresses, the Chavis Allah says, is to... The primary thing is to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this situation for him, and that it's what's best for his neshama, for his development as a person, whether it's spiritually, maybe emotionally, maybe to have him acquire a certain kolchos hanefesh that heretofore he didn't have or develop or know that he had, or maybe this brings him closer to Hashem. Sometimes a person's in a tremendous esara. People who have been very sick and who have had otherwise tragedies, I'm talking about believing Jews, they will tell you afterwards, almost to a man or to a woman, that they became closer to Hashem. They have a whole different closeness to Hashem. You right? You know, you think the other way around, right? You think that it moves them further from Hashem, but it's almost universal that they feel closer. And they feel they've developed like a relationship with Hashem because they pour their hearts out to Hashem, and they utilize it. So the point is, it's min hashamayim. It's something Hashem sent, and it's l'tov, and it's for good. So worst comes to worst, it's for good, because you develop, as we just said, maybe you develop strength of character that you didn't know you had. You develop a closeness to Hashem. You can do tshuva. You develop, you know, better. You make certain kabbalas. You develop that way. But the Kabbalah also says to think about that it's not as black as you paint it. Many times, and from the way the Chaim Talavah suggests the person think, it's, to me it sounds like half a tragedy is that you think life is unfair, that the other fellow has it good and you have it bad. But if you think about, like the Chaim Talavah says, you know, everyone has their own peckle, as the Yiddish expression says. Everyone has issues. Everyone has things they have to overcome, and everyone thinks that the other person doesn't. So he says, you know, you're all alone in the world. He takes the extreme of a gear. He says, well, first of all, realize that everybody's all alone when push comes to shove. And at the end of the day, you're all alone. Your neshama's all alone. Now we're up to, in this paragraph, around the 10th line, around. After a period, the Chavis Halavos is telling him, now we're in the mode, again, the primary thought is that Hashem is doing this. It's not happening by accident. Then you think it's for a reason, and it's for a good reason. Worst comes to worst, it's making me develop as a person, bringing me closer to Hashem. It's Kaporos Averos, which he doesn't say here. It could be a whole gamut of things, but that's how your mind works. The purpose is to stay emotionally healthy. And again, this is how a Baal B'Tochen thinks. And you stay stress-free and emotionally healthy, and you don't go off the deep end. So he says, you think this, think that. And then he says, then you have to think why it's good. So he gave a few suggestions. At first, it's not as bad as you think. And well, everybody's in the same boat you are. Other people have it. The neshama's all alone at the end of the day anyway. Now he says, look at the bright side. And it might be almost a bit comical what the Chavis Halavos is going to say. But you can be sure he's serious. He doesn't mean it comically. He says, you're all alone in the world. And a ger, he says, so, you know, you don't have to go to any chasanas. You don't have kids. You have to take up your time. Kids take up a lot of your time. Wives take up a lot of your time. Look at the bright side. That's mamish what he's saying. If he is bone and old, he should think, because Hashem, it is good in a way. In a way, it's good. So, for your neshama, this might be what's good. You're not being comical. It has a good side. You know, Mrs. Smiles didn't have any children for many, many years. And she looks back now and she says, this is when she made up her speeches, her drushes, her shiurim. That's when she didn't have any children. So she was freed. You could be sure that she wanted them and she davened for them. And, you know, I don't know her personally. But Lamaisa, she took advantage of the situation that she was in. It's all, so as Chavi the Lover says, he should grab on to the good that he's able to extrapolate from this. Like he's giving different suggestions. This is all not a manifestation. This is all a totsa'ah of bitachon. Because the Baal Bitachon lives with Hashem, is keenly aware that Hashem is the one that's doing everything. So think this way, think that way. That's what Perek Dalet is about. So he's saying here, think of that, the fact that you don't have the burden of a family. Lamais, it's a burden. You have to take them on family trips. You have to, right? It's a big time spender, time waster. The Yachshav Azeh Tova Mitovos Hashem Olam. He's telling us don't be bitter. Everything Hashem does is tov. Try to figure out what's tov. Don't be bitter. Make a joke. Smile. Laugh. Look at the bright side. This is not the... what was the guy's name? By the guy who knew... they take courses.
Dale Carnegie?
No, not Dale Carnegie. I'm thinking of the other guy. And every day, in every way, like Pollyanna, the girl. You know Pollyanna? You know there's a word Pollyannish in the dictionary? You know it comes from a story. A girl named Pollyanna. And it's not a very sophisticated story. It's not like high literature. It's a fifth grade reading, not exactly college reading. But it became a word in the English language where this girl, it's a stupid story. It's like a fifth grade level. But her name was Pollyanna, and all the bad things that happened to her, and all the cruelty that was shown to her, I forgot she was a Yosema, I don't even remember. I mean, it's not exactly, high literature. Didn't win any Nobel Prize for literature, you know. But it became a word in the language, and the story is, she was always optimistic. She looked at the bright side. She didn't want to think badly of people. She always looked good. And it became good. That's the story. It became good. Because of her outlook on life, it taka became good. And the Chavis of Others is telling you to do that.
I understand that to an extent. A couple of people are basically saying, look at the glass being half full as opposed to half empty. You know, to an extent. What do you say to people who survive the show and are extremely bitter? How do you explain to them the good in that? I mean,
So first of all, realize you're taking an extreme example. You're talking about something on par with the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So there is no simple explanation. You can't turn to them, look at the bright side, we don't live in Germany anymore. No. You can't say that, it's a joke. But if you're dealing with someone who's open to listen, what did Chachamim say about what's after the Shoah or before the Shoah? Like Churban Beis Hamikdash. Right? I don't think anything has happened on that scale since the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Maybe Bar Kokhba, you know. So what it says, Mizmor Liyosof, Elokim Bol Goyim Anachlosecha, Timu Asechal Kochecha, Somus Yishlein Liyim, etc., etc. Nosnu Es Nivlas Avodecha, Machol Ofa Shemayim, Vesar Chasidecha Lechais Oretz, Shofchu Domam Kamayim, Sivos Yishlein Vein Kover, horrible, terrible. So the Gemara says, Mizmor Liyosof. She said, Kina Liyosof. Okay, Mizmor Liyosof. What's he singing about? So the Gemara says, there's a bright side. That Hashem was Shofach Eitz, Kaso, Al Eitz and Bavonim. He could have destroyed Klal Yisrael. He could have destroyed Klal Yisrael. Instead, he made a corrective in destroying a building. Eitz and Bavonim. Bottom line, it's only a building. Now, of course, hundreds of thousands of Jews were slaughtered too. But Klal Yisrael survived. A student of history would look at the Holocaust, you know, and say, you know, my father, Olav HaShalom, was in Europe. He was no, you know, he's no big student of history, but he said, and the historians will tell you that the Holocaust was a huge corrective in the direction that Klal Yisrael was taking. From Shapsi Tzvi to the Holocaust, the graph was growing down. We might be worse off than the door of the Holocaust, but we're climbing up. The graph is going up. There's more Torah, more yeshivas, more shuls, more people becoming frum every year. The graph's on the way up. And from Shapsi Tzvi through the Haskalah, through the emancipation, right? All the different Haskalahs, the Yiddish Haskalah, the German Haskalah, the Hebrew Haskalah, Tzionis, right? It was down, and now it's going up, but it's a huge corrective. So, you know, it wasn't worse than the Churban Beis Hamikdash when you say Mizmor Liyosof, right? And Mizmor Liyosof, Hashem, you know. And how many, it's 50 years later, 60 years later, and there's no question in anyone's, there shouldn't be a question that Klal Yisrael is doing better than any other time in history since the Churban. We put the, you know, it's called the Golden Age of Spain. You ever heard that expression? We put them to shame. They had nothing. They didn't have PCs, man. It's like a joke. Really, we're way past the Golden Age of Spain. Golden Age of Spain was kid stuff compared to the way people live now. There's no place in the world that Jews are persecuted now, except in Israel, okay?
But in the house, in Korban Beis HaMikdash, Hashem took his anger and put it on a building.
Yeah.
In the Holocaust, he took it off on Bnei Yisrael. He killed six...
But Klal Yisrael survived. That's my point. Whatever happened, happened, and Klal Yisrael survived. What other nation would have survived the Holocaust? And not only did we survive, but we have Eretz Yisrael back, and we built it up, and we're living better than any other time in history since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And that's about the Golden Age of Spain. And you have to see this as a totsa'ah of the Holocaust. It was, you know, it was what it was. But you have to look at the good. So good, that's a very, an extremely sophisticated viewpoint. Your average person who lost his entire family and has the numbers on his arms and wakes up at 3 a.m. still screaming nightmares, you know, you don't know what to tell that person. You know, my father, Allah Shalom, married, my mother was Nifta, and he married a second time. And he married a Holocaust survivor, and she still had her nightmares. I mean, she had her nightmares at night. She it's terrible, terrible.
But is the Kabbalah basically saying that that person survived the Shoah? You got to look at it from the glass half full.
So there it takes a national, I gave you some examples, it takes an outlook of on a national scale. The guy whose family was wiped out in a car accident, Chas v'Shalom, you know, and he lost both his arms and both his legs, and he's living in some nursing home somewhere, and he's on a filibrator, you know. So what are you going to tell him? You know, it's hard. So he has to think other thoughts. He has to think it's kaparas aveiros. He has to think that I'd rather suffer now in this world for a limited time of 50 years. The Chafetz Chaim says you should be dancing with joy every time something bad happens to you. A little tzara lamata gets you nitzchius of pleasure in Olam Haba. The believing Jew, right? Otcha Hashem ki ini son, aramimcha Hashem ki dili soni, or right? David HaMelech speaks of praising Hashem and dancing and praising His name for the beard. Otcha ki ani soni, there's a pshat of ani soni because you have tortured me. Because thanks for the trade-off. You know, you don't want it, you don't ask for it. No normal person, nowhere in Hashkafa, says that you should be mispalel, that Hashem should do bad things to you for kaparas aveiros. But it's absolutely a hashkafa after the bad things happen. So sometimes, you know, you're down to saying it's kaparas, a kapara. You know, he's dealing with less tragic things. Because he's dealing with the relationships. He's dealing with people that have children, don't have children, never got married. What do you tell a girl that never, you know, plenty of girls out there, unfortunately, and it's unfortunate, no question about it. They're pushing 35, they're older, they never got married, you know. So what do you tell them? So and they turn bitter, and they, you know, and the truth is they're being merachic themselves from getting married. You know, you see these girls walking around, they're not smiling. They don't look good. They don't look good. I'm not talking about prettiness. I'm talking about they're sad. You know, you don't look good when you're sad. When you smile, you have a whole different look on your face. You're labor digging, you're schmuck, you know. And I would recommend that they have bitachon. And they develop, they have to do it, the thing they have to try, they have to work on it. They have to say, you know, I'm not saddled down with the responsibility. You know, it's I don't think the Chayvus HaLvavus is giving us mental tricks. He's saying it very well might be true. You don't know what Hashem is doing, but we know Hashem is a Meitiv. So sometimes we have to be as, like, it's just impossible to figure out. So we'll just have to say it's a Kaparas Aveiros. But he's giving you other things to think about. It's not so bad to be alone. Everybody's really alone. The gaiety and the happiness that they feel at not being alone is a shtickle false. Because they're really alone at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you come home at night to your apartment, you know, and you lay in bed and you try to fall, you're alone. Like, you know, you're alone with your thoughts, you're alone with with everything you did that day. And, you know, and the neshama is certainly alone and will be alone. And it's pretty good. It's not so bad to be alone.
But someone
like I say, you don't have to go to chasanas.
Have an all and have a family.
I hate chasanas.
Trips and do have all of a family. Then be
the best time of my life was my year of avelus. I couldn't believe it. I don't have to go to any chasanas. I don't have to go to any shalom zachas. This is like great. I did, like at the end of the year, I said to Hashem, like, can we like do this again? I stopped going to chasanas after that. I saw they got married anyway. No one really missed me. And I just didn't have a good excuse, that's all.
Someone would prefer, though, to be married with a family and have all the all than be lonely. I know
he's telling you how to cope with situations that exist. He's not telling you what to be mispowled for. No one's mispowled to get sick. No one's mispowled to be poor. No one's mispowled to not have children. No one's mispalel to not get married. He's telling you how to cope with what happens. Hashem is doing it. Hashem is doing it intentionally. You didn't fall through any cracks. It's good for you. And you want to be a happy, optimistic, emotionally healthy person that's boteach b'Hashem. You'll try to figure out what's good about it. That's what he's saying to do. Okay. I figured out like 10 reasons why it's good for me to be the rabbi of the shul. I'm writing a newspaper column. Right? Look what happened. I ended up writing a newspaper column. I told him I'm enjoying this. Like, I don't write Torah anymore. So I told the guy my next series is going to be about Havganot. Productive or stupid? So, like, he begged me not to. He said, like, I sort of like being alive. He said, you know, I want to stay alive, please, if you don't mind. He won't take the chance.